Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Well, hello again. This is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today. Janie and I want to spend some time today encouraging you about what it means to be offended. When we know what it means to be offended and recognize when we are offended, then it's easier to make the adjustments to grow in our relationship, to be a witness in these difficult days. John chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be offended." It's very important that we find out what that means, and that's the challenge we face today. So join in the conversation as we discuss how blessed are the unoffended. I want to start this week by asking a question, Janie. What does it mean to be offended? Because I think that until we really understand what that word means, we really won't know when we're offended. It's kind of like the tools that we have in our Christian toolbox to knowing, defining the sins and knowing the cross and, you know, all of those little things like that, that help us check our heart.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to be offended?
Maybe that can best be explained by an illustration. Now, technically, the word means to offend, and it means to scandalize or to cause a need of stumbling.
Okay.
Now, I would say that's best illustrated in, let's see, if there's something that you and I can use so that we don't offend anybody that may be listening. So let's just say that you and I are working on something, and I'm thinking, Sharon, you got to be crazy. And you think, no, Janie, this is the way it is. And I'm thinking, Sharon, that troubles me. That ticks me off. Well, that upsets me. That makes me nervous. That gives me a negative. That makes me want to pull back from you. I'm on a roll here, Sharon, mm-hmm. because this is the way the offenses start. All right?
Okay.
Sharon, I expected you to have greater understanding on this issue. Oh, I had an expectation and you didn't follow through with my expectation?
Okay.
Anything that breaks my relationship of the fruit of the Spirit, anything that breaks my relationship with you in a bond of peace.
Okay.
Anything that would cause us to say, well, okay, I still love her, but I'm not going to have anything to do with her.
Well, let me ask you this then. If I'm offended by you or you're offended by me, mm-hmm. does that automatically mean that I am offended by Christ?
Ooh, good question. And the simple answer is yes.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
Is God sovereign?
Yes.
Is he control of all circumstances?
Yes.
So then if you and I have an issue, then is Father God checked out? Does he have no involvement in this situation?
Well, no. Then he would have involvement, yes.
Okay. So then if he allowed it, then basically it comes back on the fact that if he's sovereign and he allows everything, I can't really get offended with you without being offended with him. If he allowed this difference to come up, then he's got a purpose in it, whether it's to refine us, educate us, encourage us, but he's always involved in everything. Sharon, he just checked out you and I this morning on how many hairs we have on our head.
Right.
And okay. I have a few less than what I did after having the hairbrush. So if he's involved with us in that detail, then don't you think that he's involved with the matters of the heart?
Okay, so let me ask you this then. If I am offended at, say, the way our country is going, mm-hmm. am I offended at God?
Well, if you're rebelling against it, or you're disappointed, or you're overwhelmed, or you think he's lost control, or that you think he doesn't know what he's doing, or if you think, my word, Lord, how'd you let this one slip up on you?
Okay.
But if I can go back, in fact, when everything that's gone on in government and the things rattled me, I looked at people and personalities and grieved for some, pretty well perturbed with others. But I went back, and here was what the still small voice of God Almighty brought to my heart through the scriptures. Nothing has changed in my eternal game plan. My character and my sovereignty has not been altered in any way, shape, or form by the temporal events that the nation is going through. I am still God. I still reign. My purpose for all of eternity has not moved for 1 ounce. Everything is still on my eternal game plan. Have I allowed an upset in many people's thinking? Yes. Well, why, Lord? Because their hearts are not right before me. They want a repentance of comfort. They want a national recognition that all is well and we can still be the greatest nation. But that is impossible if the hearts are not right of my people.
Right. Okay.
And so he allows what we could call fruit basket upset because he has a greater purpose. He's preparing the body of Christ for all of eternity in this economy, in this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working to bring that to a fullness according to his heart and mind. Okay, let's bring it down even simple. Your children have an attitude about something. And you know that there's some legitimateness in their thinking. But you know, if you leave them there, that what they are thinking could destroy them because mm-hmm. they cannot see the bigger picture.
Right.
So what do? You have to make their life very uncomfortable with a lecture, with some training tools, maybe by an example, however the Lord mm-hmm. directs you. But right. you see the bigger picture of when your son, who is 12 now, may be 36, and you don't want him in prison.
Right.
Or
right.
you don't want him with a heart so calloused that he denies the very God that you are in schooling him in now.
Right.
So you take him through some really rough waters.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to like that.
Right.
And he's going to reject it. But you have the truth of the scripture. Train up a child
mm-hmm.
in the way he should go. And by the way, let me throw something in here.
Okay.
On training children, there is not a cookie cutter model for how you train a child.
I will amen that.
All right. Each child must be looked at on an individual basis based on their temperament, their personality, their physical attributes, other things. And you have to train up a child each individually. Now, I want to move that over to the body of Christ. So the Lord is training each of us according to our individuality. And many times we look at one person and think, Lord, how come they're getting by with that? Or, Lord, why aren't you doing mm-hmm. this and that person? Because can't you see how far off base?
Mm-hmm.
And he just sweetly says, yes, I formed them. I know exactly how far they're off base. But you be full of agape love that stands for my truth, not convenient truth. Not love that has no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave the rest to me.
Right. Okay. That brings an understanding for me that if I am offended, it always goes back to Christ in some way, always goes back to God in some way. And I think that's very important to know because we could say, well, I'm offended at them because they did this or that or whatever. And justify it. And I just think these are great tools for us to have in our Christian toolbox.
But they go against the common belief of logic, reason, opinions, and perspectives. So if we are monkeying with our mind in any of those different areas, then Sharon, we are so open to deception.
Okay.
But if we go back, and again, one of my favorite verses, and I can't usually go more than about 48 hours without saying it back to the Lord, and that's in Psalms 19. Lord, show me my hidden faults mm-hmm. and my presumptuous sins, that I might stand before you blameless, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You find out that the Lord obligates with joy his pleasure and then exposing to you your hidden faults, no matter how painful no matter how humiliating. It's like, Lord, couldn't we go back and just do a replay on that?
Well, and I think that's important if we will pray that prayer and understand that these perilous times that we are facing today and the situations and circumstances that are around us, that we will realize that everything that we go through is all for training, for character building, for whatever God wants to build us up for.
And yet what we're saying here today, Sharon, is with some simplicity because we've learned through our failures the danger of walking in offense. We've seen churches split. We now have seen a nation be more divided than what it's ever been in its history.
Well, a whole life can be destroyed over offenses. If you start out with offenses, you can be offended with your parents and then offended with your spouse and then offended with your boss and then offended with your children. It could just go on and on and on the rest of your life.
Yes.
And all you do is live in offense. And people walk on tiptoes around you and don't know what to say or how to say because you're offended at everything and everybody. And it destroys a life. It destroys relationships.
Well, we have to be careful that we don't get offended because someone speaks something that we don't understand.
That's hard to take, yeah.
And again, we've said this before, but it may be that it's time to say it again, Sharon, and that is the wisdom that God has given me of Him today just didn't pop up because I read a chapter in the Bible.
Right.
I was influenced by my second mom because she was talking to me on a level that was just going over my head, and I was trying to rationalize it within the scriptural understanding that I had at that time, and there was no slots where it was fitting.
Right.
And I thought she could certainly just pull out her little map and her little tool book and show me the page that I was missing so that I could just apply it.
Right.
But she knew I had to go through fire. She knew I had to go through perplexity. She knew I had to go through the ignorance and the frustration for that heart to become a hungry heart.
To seek it out for yourself.
Yes. And Sharon, some people, this is the tool that they never want to do. And so they remain an inferior Christian, secure with their salvation. But they really never walk in victory here because they didn't want to get stretched beyond where they were comfortable. And would get offended and shut down and not have anything else to do because it was over their head.
Right. And I can say that I have been where you were in the things that you have taught me. You have spoke over my head, and I am so thankful for those times that we've had conversation on air and off air. I mean, there are many things that I have learned right here on air that I have been... Really, Janie?
And for our listening audience, you should have been privy to the things that we talked about off air. I didn't know if I'd be welcome back in the studio again. Are you looking for a new replacement, Sharon? And yet, let's quickly say that we did not allow those things that could have caused offense to keep us from seeking the truth. And the Lord says that when you abide in Him and you seek the truth, then you'll know the truth.
Well, I mean, offense is one of those things. It's kind of like fear.
You know,
when you're faced with something that you don't understand or that possibly is humiliating to you.
Oh, good point. Good
point. You know, something like that, that if you're being corrected or you're being instructed in a way that's humiliating or embarrassing or whatever, offense is something that comes instantly. Well, it's kind of like fear.
Yes.
But it's one of those things that if we will see that we're offended and readjust, just like
reset.
Reset, yeah. Just like we do with fear, Oh, that's fear. I'm not going to allow fear to overtake me. That's an offense. I'm not going to let that offense overtake me. God, what are you trying to teach me here? What are you saying to me here? What do I need to learn from this situation or circumstance? And how can I move this from an offense to an application of growth?
Now, you've given me a trigger that I think we need to bring up here. And that is, in today's society, with the sumptuousness of our prosperity in this nation, mm-hmm. we have lost the fear of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes, it is.
And when the Lord says, you fear me according to how I have told you who I am, and you'll have no other fears.
Right.
All right.
Right.
But instead, we have used the Lord for our own selfish advancement in His family, where we have security. And then, like a wayward sibling, we've then done our own thing and acted just like the world. It may be that some of the things we will experience is because the Lord is returning the fear of the Lord to our hearts.
Amen.
So that we can know wisdom and our hearts can be arrighted, and that He can work through our hearts and He can work through our conscience, because right. it's not in opposition to the leading of the Spirit. Now, Amen. That's a mouthful. Yeah.
Well, and that really makes sense, because if we do fear the Lord, we won't be offended. We will recognize those offenses. We will recognize, mm-hmm. and we won't be unforgiving.
Excellent.
I mean, because we had talked about a couple of weeks ago that the very first thing we need to do when we recognize that we have been offended or that we've gotten offended is to know whether we need to forgive or ask forgiveness.
Or be forgiven,
yes. Or be forgiven, right. Mm-hmm. So knowing that fear of the Lord and to know that He is in control.
Well, Sharon, our blindness is usually based on lies. And this is a one-liner we've used in past years. I don't know that mm-hmm. we've used it recently. But a lie believed as a truth will affect your life as it is true, even though it's a lie.
Yeah.
And I take you back to the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Eve chose to believe a lie. Mm-hmm. But it affected her as the truth.
Right.
Even though it was a lie.
Right.
And look at the downline consequences that one lie believed as a truth. So we cannot quietly just live our life letting the ones that we love believe a lie.
Right. And that's so true, because when we are facing this adversity, it is so important that we be witnesses of Christ, witnesses of who He is, and be an influence to other people who are struggling, that we don't allow whatever things that are going on to offend us and tumble down the hill as well.
Absolutely. But Sharon, we won't win any popularity contest.
Well, no, there won't be any popularity contests, and you might it may break some relationships as well.
It will, or you will develop a reputation of, oh, here comes Sharon. Well, do the best you can to tolerate her while she's around.
Right.
All right. So
right.
then I have learned, because I am quite controversial, and that has broken my heart, because I'd like to be liked, but I think it's going to be heaven before that's a security.
Well, I like you, Janie.
Right. Well, there's one, so I'm good. But I realize that it goes back to the cross, when I realize what Jesus Christ gave so that He could have a family that would be one in like-mindedness, one in unity. So I have learned to say, look, I realize I'm speaking outside the box, but please just listen to this one point. And if you're not ready to adhere to it or think about it, fine, but let me just express it to you, because I know it can bring life and healing in ways that the Lord has shown me through my own failures.
Well, maybe that's another point that we need to talk about. how do we speak to people about the lie that they're believing without causing an offense?
Ah, good, excellent, excellent question. And I will tell you, it's very simple. Find out what's in their heart by asking questions. Now, he knows our hearts in the depths as far as salvation or not. We don't judge that part. But what's the weaknesses, the strengths of anyone's heart, their innermost being, their thinking? Ask questions.
Okay.
And as you ask questions, you're going to find out if the person's still living under traditions. Is the person still living under emotions as the final authority? Are they still living under some past experience or present circumstance that is the dominant factor in their thinking?
I found that some people today, in asking questions like that, they're very influenced by what they see on television and social media. So that becomes their truth. So how do you work past that?
Well, I would ask a question.
Okay.
I would say, all right, it sounds to me that social media or the current news articles or the news forecast seems to be influencing your thinking. So I realize that there is facts in what you're telling me. So to balance it out, tell me how that works from the scriptures.
Okay. All right, so always take them back to the scripture.
Always, because that's our foundation. Now, what's going to happen is they're going to blubber, or they're going to say, well, I don't have time, or I don't know the scriptures the way. I have been blamed for knowing too much scripture. I have been blamed for being arrogant and proudful because I know the scriptures. Do I know all the scriptures? No. Do I know the depth in every verse? Absolutely not. But there is a bloodline, a chain line that has become grounded as a part of who I am as a person that the Lord has taught me through his word.
Right.
And he's promised to do that. So he's been faithful. And yet I've been blamed for being arrogant and proudful because I know the scriptures. And I'm thinking, I learned them in the pits. I learned them in failure, and I usually will say, I've learned this through failure, and I've even been accused of being proudful because I learned them through failure. So logic and reason goes out the door, but that
okay.
doesn't mean that you are
so in. So it always has to go back to scripture, because that's what brings them life.
Yes.
That's what brings them truth.
But let's balance how to do that. So you love the passage over in 2 Peter chapter 1 that gives us the formula for how to have the divine promises and how to have the divine nature. All right. I can go there, and as it gives you the steps bringing you up to agape love as being the fruition of which you will never fail if you go through this procedure, then I can say this scripture was brought to life to me by this incident.
Okay.
And then I can say, but God can use any incident, but I'm just giving you an illustration for perhaps simplification, for clarification, but it's not a tradition that you're going to have to follow to get to this point.
Right, right, right.
But the scripture has to stand and stand alone. But you will definitely have some very unusual responses if you stand on the scripture alone.
Okay, so to sum us up today, the offenses that we are offended by, they always go back to God, whether we're offended with the government or the community or our family or a friend. It all goes back to God. And so when we see others falling for lies that are being taught around us, then it is our responsibility to take them back to the scriptures to,
and maybe you and I'll be in heaven, and something that seed that we have planted will germinate and will spring life. Then it doesn't matter if we are like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the Lord's, I want to see Jeremiah when I get to heaven and just say, thank you that for 40 years you were faithful in saying what God put into your mouth to the nations, and it cost you relationships, it cost you your family, it cost you everything, but you were faithful. And we've got to be just as faithful, Sharon. In these days, there's a tide turning, and we cannot allow ourselves or our loved ones to be comfortable in believing a lie.
All right, well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.